the success and the harmony of a marriage. And a lot of the people, the social scientists, the psychologists, the marriage consultant or marriage counselor, many of these people are not Christian. And a lot of them, they are not religious. They are looking on the social aspect of marriage, the part that marriage plays in society. And they do their research and find out that when a man or and a woman, a husband and a wife are one in their religious beliefs and whatever, it gives the marriage not only a better chance to work, but you find that there is more agreement, more harmony, and more oneness in that marriage. And that, of course, make for success in that marriage. What they point out in their research is that when there is not this oneness in religion, because you see, religion plays a very important part in people's life. And may I drop something by here? Even if when you are young, it's not that important, as you get older, for some reason or the other, as people get older, Big Master above begin to bother your mind. You begin to think more seriously about religion, about God, about death, than when you're young. So, as I've said, that what these social scientists found out is that when there is not oneness in religion, oneness between the wife and the husband, they find out that the two people may mix as husband and wife, but they do not blend. And what I'm saying here comes from research. The wife and husband mix, yes, there's a get-alongness, but there's no blending. There is no oneness. They do not blend very well when they have different views on religion. Yes, they are unbelievers. Unbelievers, wife, unbelievers, husband, who have great respect for Christianity and the church. I want to just drop this by so that you may not think that I wasn't thinking of this. Yes, there are many women, husband and wife, that either they got married before any of them became Christian. That's one class. Or the case where both of them got married, one became a Christian. The other does not. In those situations, you do find many cases where the husband who might be an unbeliever or the wife who might be an unbeliever respect Christianity and the church they are the first to tell you, well, I'm not a Christian. I haven't committed myself to any church. But deep down in them, they respect the Bible, they respect the church, they respect Christianity. That does happen. But the other side also happens, where one side turned to Jesus Christ and the other side doesn't, or where a Christian brother or sister may marry a non-Christian woman or a non-Christian man. May I just drop this too, that it's important that we always live our faith. That is, I may make another statement on this as I go on. In courtship, live your Christianity. I'll make a few more statements on that as I progress in the lesson, but at this point, when a Christian marries a non-Christian, one of the areas, I said just one of the area, the other area, but one of the areas that sometimes create problem is where in many instances the test or the conflict comes when the believing side of that marriage, the person who is a Christian in that marriage, observe how, where, and with whom his or her partner find socialization and friendship. That is a lot of times in the marriage, because I might be the husband who is a Christian. My wife is not. There is a certain degree of get-alongness between us, but the conflict and the problem comes when one, I can't force my wife, who is not a Christian, I can't force her to become a Christian. There are times when she wants to socialize. Doesn't necessarily mean she's doing anything that is wrong. She just wants to socialize with some people that I, as the husband, don't know. And a lot of times, the way she socializes, she has been used to going to her dance and whatever. Well, as a Christian, I can't go to those places. So a lot of times, when be it the husband or the wife who is part of Christ's family, observe how, where, and with whom his or her partner socialize and seek entertainment that creates problem. In fact, it is one of the common area that creates problem when the two people are not committed to Christ. Sunday come, that wife or husband who is not a Christian may feel they need a break at the beach. Here is sometimes the problem. The Christian part of that marriage sometimes, as if it were, they are saying, Jesus Christ, look here, may I have to go beach with my husband. So, most likely next week I'll be in church. They don't spell it out like that. But a lot of time, that wife or husband hate to think that his or her partner is going to the beach, don't know who he or she is going with and what. So, as I've said, this area of a Christian marrying to a non-Christian is one of the areas that sometimes brings about issues and conflict and argument when the partner observes how, with whom, and where her husband or wife seek socialization and seek entertainment. I want to suggest, but let me save that for a few minutes, about you know, when I made a point that I'm going to expand on it. And that is in courtship. If you are in love with somebody who is not a Christian, and if Christianity is important to you, try while you are courting to lead that person to Christ. If you love the person, you feel the person loves you, but you have another love, and that is Christ. Christ, Christianity, and the church is important to you. Then what you should do, pray to God to help you to lead that person to Christ. That's right. And God will work with you. There must be a good degree of oneness and agreement on the important areas of life between the two people. That's very important. In courtship, if you are serious about it and serious about what life is going to bring as it unfolds ahead of you, don't take for granted all the important areas and principles of life. And one of the important areas is that both of you may not be able to see everything alike. But the important area of life, it's good to find out what the person's view is as both of you court. And that on the important areas of life, you need to make sure that there is consensus and there is agreement on those areas of life that are important. That's part of what Amos had in mind when he said what he said there in chapter 3, verse 3. Read it for me, somebody. Yeah. Amos, I believe it comes after Obadiah.
And it reads, can two walk together except they be agreed?
Simple question, yes, but it's important. Just the question. The prophet asked, and if my memory serves me right, this was God and the Israelite. Can they travel together except they agree? So, you see, when a man and a woman going to make a commitment of marriage in living with each other for the rest of their lives, it's important that while the two of you may not agree on every single thing, but those areas of life, that is important. And there's nothing more important than your relationship with God. And it's important that that be one of the areas that there is some degree of consensus and agreement. Can two walk together except they agree? You see, God meant there to be a certain degree of oneness between husband and wife. When the Almighty God planned marriage as a way of upholding moral principle, that is, a man don't go around, and you have a lot of that under the Old Testament, polygamy. That was only permitted by God. It was wrong. God intended for the home from the original is that there is one man to one woman to one man, and that they be husband and wife. That children be had in a responsible environment. God never intend that a man go hear him have one child here and him forget and him go there and him have. No, God didn't intend that. So the Almighty God intend that there be a degree of oneness and togetherness between the husband and the wife, in the home, and as they travel through life dealing with the challenges that come. So in God's marriage pattern of oneness or togetherness, we look at the first marriage, Adam and Eve, and what you'll notice is that they were together there, both of them were together when the Almighty God first commanded them to replenish the earth. God did not give that commandment to one. Adam and Eve were together when they were given that commandment to bear children and replenish the earth. They were together when they sinned. Both of them sin. They were together when they were punished. Both of them were punished. They were together when they work. Whatever their employment, their engagement was in the garden, they were together. They were together when they were driven from the garden or from the tree of life. They were together when they had children. And this shows God's concept of oneness and togetherness in marriage and in the home, between husband and wife. I come back to courtship. In fact, I'll be closing this segment of the discussion or the lesson on this point. I stated some minutes ago that if you are in love or you see somebody that you like and the person is not a Christian, not a member of the body of Christ, not part of Christ's family, Jesus Christ would want you to try to win that person to him. You'd find that that person will become yours more than if you let that person just remain in his or her ungodliness. When you take interest in bringing that person to Christ, as that man or woman grows in Christ and appreciates Christianity, they also grow to appreciate what you have done for them in the spiritual area of life. So, in courtship, your Christianity and your relationship with Jesus Christ should be a part of the mix. Should never be put on the shelf or be hidden. To put that another way, in courtship, be a Christian. So that the person you are courting, it doesn't have to take that person long time to realize that you have commitment to Christ. Now remember, if you are ungodly in your courtship, and after marriage, you are acting like you're a faithful Christian and Christianity is important to you. Don't let that wife or husband use that on you, because you will be ashamed. Truly, you are quoting and Christ and Christianity and the church is hardly something that come up between you and your fiancé. But after you have become a Christian, probably 6 months, a year after, the honeymoon is over, and you get down now to the realities of life, and that's the time you start acting like you're a serious Christian. Don't let your partner look and say, you are Christian? Because you see, in your courtship, your Christianity was put on the shelf. It was not a part of the mix. So make sure that in courtship, if you like or love someone that you feel you'd like that person to be your life's partner, then work on that person for Christ and pray about it too. Never be ashamed of your Christianity. Never sweep it under the rug, because that will come back to haunt you. Togetherness. Like a lock and a key. A lock and a key form a functioning unit. A functioning unit between that lock and the key, that any of them by themselves could not function effectively. You take a lock by itself, It cannot function effectively. No need, you lock somewhere with it if the key is not there to help it function. Well, so it is with a properly knit husband and wife. They function more effectively when there is togetherness. And one of the most important areas of that togetherness is one's relationship with Jesus Christ, one's Christianity. We may have more on this another Sunday night. Thank you.
And sing this song, 360. 360. Please stand. 360.
I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice and